Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this morning. Father God, just give thanks that we get an opportunity to get into your holy scriptures. I pray, Lord, that I would decrease and you would increase. I pray, Lord, as we go through the word, that it makes sense, that it be rooted in our heart, and that we take the lessons from it to apply to our life. Lord God, I just lift up this church body to you. It's your church body, Lord. We are here to serve you and glorify you in everything that we do. So as we walk through this scripture, may it be implanted on our hearts so that we can walk it out in our lives and glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, church, my name is DJ. I'm a deacon here at the church. And I get the privilege and blessing of leading the men's ministry. I have a lot of good men that lead with me. And we have a group called MAC, Men Accountable to Christ. We meet every Wednesday night in the fellowship hall. And what we do is we get in the Word of God and we dissect it so that we can understand it and apply it to our life. That's what it's all about. And so Pastor Chris, he's visiting his son Slater. He asked if I would be willing to preach. And it's one of those things where it's always nerve-wracking, but for me, it's a blessing and an honor and a privilege because we get to discuss the Word of God and how to apply it to our life. Amen? Amen. All right. So currently we're, if you guys have your Bibles or a phone app, or we'll bring up the verses on here. Currently we're in the book of John, right? The Gospel of John's one of my favorite Gospels to teach out of and read and consistently stay in. John was the son of Zebedee. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples and an eyewitness to his ministry, which is key. Right, that's why I love the Gospel of John, because he was an eyewitness to Jesus' ministry. John's gospel is different. Rather than simply recording events, John focused on answering one question. And that one question is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? John chapter 20, verse 31 says it here. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have the life in his name. John's purpose in writing is that his believers will believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. Amen? And so today's message is titled The Authority of the Son. Really, the title for me is All In with Jesus. My prayer is that every single person in here is all in with Jesus. And if you're not, then my prayer is after this service, you make the decision, because you've heard the word and the holy scriptures preached and taught for what they mean and what they say, that you're all in with Jesus. Amen? That's what it's all about. So, quick recap. Last week, Pastor Chris preached on the first 15 verses. We're in John chapter 5, so I'm going to be camping at 16 through 27, but a quick recap on the first 15 verses. Jesus travels to Jerusalem and comes to the pool of Bethesda. There he finds a man who had been disabled for 38 years. Jesus asks a question, do you want to get well? The man's response, I have no one to help me in the pool when the water is stirred. Because at that time, the superstition was an angel would come down and stir the pools for healing. There's no actual evidence of anyone being healed that way. But that's what the man believed. 38 years, seeing it get stirred, I have no one to help me in there, while Jesus is in front of him. So without touching the water or performing a ceremony, Jesus simply says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Right? The man did not recognize Jesus. The man did not ask Jesus to heal him. Jesus chose to heal him after 38 years. And the point that I see there by the scriptures is that Jesus can heal anyone at any time. Jesus can heal anyone at any time for any reason that he sees fit. So for us, the message we can take for that is to never lose hope. Never lose hope at all. Because I think for us, there's people in our lives that we're praying for. There's people in our lives that we're praying, Lord God, work a miracle in so-and-so's life. And so I want to encourage you, keep praying. Because he can work those miracles in those lives. But then sometimes we think, well, what if he doesn't? Right? You know, this past week I had celebrated two of my older brother's birthdays that had passed away in 2022 behind drugs and alcohol. Nolan's birthday was June 23rd. My oldest brother's birthday, Ryan, was yesterday. And so it's the prayer on my heart was always, Lord, please get them sober. Lord, please just let them see themselves how you see them. Let them love themselves the way you love them. Right? They passed away in their addiction. Does that mean the Lord didn't answer that prayer? Absolutely not. He answered that prayer wholeheartedly. Why? Because they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and now they're in heaven for all eternity. So sometimes he may not, thank you guys. I share that because sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers the way we think he should answer it. But the word tells us that our names are registered in heaven. He's already answered any prayer we could ever ask because of our salvation, because of Jesus Christ's birth, because of his life, because of his death, and because of his resurrection. We are offered that salvation, and our names are registered in heaven. And so Jesus is asking us today if we want to get well. If we want to get well. And like I said, why does God not heal everyone? He already has. He already has healed us all by offering us salvation. Amen? And so the problem we see here, Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. The religious leaders were upset because the healed man was carrying his mat, which they viewed as breaking their Sabbath traditions. And Sabbath traditions was the rules that they made versus what was written in the Word of God. So the Sabbath traditions were the rules that these Jewish leaders had made versus what the Word of God actually said. They put all these extra rules on it. Jesus finds the man later in the temple and tells him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." And so Jesus healed the physical ailments, but there was still a spiritual ailment that needed healing, right? And that goes for us as well. He can heal things in our life physically, but it's more about the spiritual, because that's what offers us to salvation through him. Instead of rejoicing that a man crippled for 38 years had been healed, the religious leaders focused on their traditions and began persecuting Jesus. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, were putting their human religious traditions above genuine love and compassion for others, which the Old Testament commanded this in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Jesus exemplified this. It was Jesus who was truly obeying the scriptures and not these Jews. In response, Jesus delivers one of the clearest and strongest declarations of his identity and authority. And that's what we're going to get into this morning. Verses 16 through 27. You guys with me? Okay. So we're going to jump in. 16 through 18. So Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath. The Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, They tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. We cannot miss the pivotal importance of these three verses right here. The Jewish leadership has uncovered two crimes that deserve the death penalty. So let's walk through them. First, Jesus was viewed as indifferent to divine Sabbath law as mediated through Jewish tradition. The issue wasn't that Jesus ignored God's law. It was that he refused to follow man-made interpretations of it. Does that make sense? He refused to follow the man-made interpretations of it. The second charge against Jesus has to do with blasphemy. Jesus defends his Sabbath activity in verse 17. If God, who made the Sabbath, can continue to work positively while commanding rest, then Jesus' works on the Sabbath are defensible. So here in this verse we see Jesus is claiming divine rights. If the defense is true, Jesus is making a breathtaking claim, equality with God. If it is false, a serious crime against Judaism has been committed. And we know it to be true. Why? Because Jesus is God. Amen? Jesus is God, so we know it to be true. These first three verses here introduce the rest of John chapter 5. So from verse, if you highlight in your Bible or take any notes, from verse 19 through 47, Jesus gives one of the clearest explanations in the Bible of his relationship with the Father. So if you haven't had a chance to study that section, it will bless you greatly. And that's 19 through 47. And this is what he teaches through that section. He teaches the Father and Son work together. He teaches that the Son gives life. He teaches the Son has authority to judge. He teaches that the Son deserves the same honor as the Father. And he also teaches that rejecting the Son is rejecting God. And as I was putting together this message, I'm like, for me, I always put myself in the position of somebody who shows up at church and it's their very first time, right? Because I try to preach and teach to that person, because I remember for me coming here for a long time, 12, 13 years ago, when I wasn't all in with Jesus, I just needed it simplified. And the question that went off is, why did Jesus heal on the Sabbath? Like, why? Why heal on the Sabbath? And so I got a few answers for you guys if you're wondering the same thing. Jesus revealed God's heart of compassion and mercy by healing on the Sabbath. This man, 38 years, laying by the pool in Bethesda. 38 years, not asking for healing, not even recognizing him as Jesus. 38 years, and Jesus decides to heal him. Talk about the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his compassion and his mercy. And now think about this. Think about the compassion and mercy he's had on your life. Right? I mean, it's a true miracle that we're all sitting here at 9:54 on a Sunday morning in church. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Right? But think about his compassion and his mercy for all the time we weren't walking with him. We were not serving him. It's almost like he was chasing us down and we were running faster until finally we were beaten into a place of submission, speaking for myself, where I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to try things your way. DJ's way doesn't work at all, you know? For me, it was jails, institutions, or death. Those are my three options. So I said, okay, God, I'm going to try your way. Here I am preaching a sermon to you on a Sunday morning. Praise God, you know? Oh, crazy. Number two. So why did Jesus heal on the Sabbath? Number two, Jesus showed he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. And number three, Jesus revealed that he is equal with the Father. He reveals that he is equal with the Father, fully in alignment. If Jesus has authority over sickness, the Sabbath, life, judgment, and salvation, does he have authority over your life? So I'll say that again. If Jesus has the authority over sickness, the Sabbath, life, judgment, and salvation, does he have authority over your life? And my prayer is, yes, he does. And if maybe you're in a position of, I want him to, but I need to know more, praise God, dig in. And if you're in a place of, no, he doesn't, but I want him to and I'm ready, praise God. There's no one level above the other. The whole point of this message, the whole point of this service from me to you is for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to declare it with your mouth, to believe it in your heart that he is our Lord, that God raised him from the dead so that you will be saved. It's not you got to do all the do's and don't all the don'ts and then you get to heaven. That's not the way it works. If it was up to me, I'd be dead in the water, right? I think most of us we can relate. It's by faith alone and by grace alone of what Jesus did for us on that cross. His life for our life. Amen? So John chapter 5, verses 19 through 23. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, meaning, amen, amen. And in the Gospel of John, that appears 25 times throughout. So 25 times you'll read that throughout the Gospel of John. Jesus lives and works in perfect unity with the Father. Perfect unity with the Father. Jesus possesses the Father's power to give life. Jesus possesses the Father's authority to judge. And again, perfect unity in perfect alignment, one with the other, the Father, Son, and of course the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of times for us too, it's like, well, we could do a 2-hour sermon on that, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because of all the questions, right, that we get into. But they are all in unity with each other as one. And verse 23 becomes the key here, which says that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. So to honor God while rejecting Jesus is impossible. It is not possible in any way, shape, or form. To honor God while rejecting Jesus is impossible. You cannot honor God and reject Jesus at the same time. To honor God, we honor Jesus as our Lord and Savior for our salvation. You guys with me on that? Right? And it's key. You know, like again, this whole message is all about the authority of Jesus Christ. And for us to truly take a step back and acknowledge him for who he is, our Lord and our Savior. Not some prophet, right? Fully God, fully man. Right? Born of a virgin through the Holy Spirit conception. Lived a sinless, blameless life for both you and I in every thought, word, and deed. Was murdered. Gave his life on a cross for us and our salvation. was risen and is now in heaven and offers us salvation through his sacrifice. That's like my main point today, is just to make that crystal clear. And it's not because I'm telling you to believe it. I'm going to give you plenty of verses to back it up, because I think that's crucial. When we hear a message taught or hear a message preached, well, what does the word say? Always use that as a guide. What does scripture say? Especially right now in our day and age that we live in. You can go on social media and everybody's talking about everything. A lot now, it's like almost a cool thing to follow God for some people, right? And so like they're trying to preach this message, but it's like, okay, well, what does the Bible say? So always use this as your test, not only to what people say, but also for us as our mirror for our own life. How am I doing in my life? How am I treating others? How am I walking with God? This is the mirror that we can use. Amen? And it's the only tool that will give us that truth, that will give us that peace. Like Pastor Chris says all the time, you know, here at his place, we believe in reading your Bible. We believe in studying the Bible so you can apply it to your life, so you can experience the grace of God. Not just do all the do's and don't all the don'ts. Don't just get up in the morning, brush your teeth, read your Bible. Like, spend time with God. Sit at his feet in prayer and in meditation. You don't have to know the entire gospel. Just know the gospel in presentation and know your testimony so that we can go and make disciples, like Pastor Barb was sharing this morning. That's what it's all about. Spend time with him in his word. Let his word minister to your heart. Apply it to your life and walk it out. Because for a lot of us, if we're around non-believers, we're the only Jesus they're going to see. Does that make sense? We're the only vision of what God represents that they're going to see, especially when they know that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So how we represent him because of him working in us and through us is crucial. We're called to be the salt and light of this world. It doesn't say try to, you should. It says you are the salt and light of this world. And that's what we're called to be, right? So in John chapter 5, verse 24 through 27. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. We see it again. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Praise God. Whoever hears and believes, right? There's two parts there. Whoever hears and believes. You guys with me on that?
Yeah.
Right? We hear the word of God, but then believing the word of God is a whole nother level. I can hear things, right? My wife and I can have conversations, and I can hear what she's saying, but then when she asks me, what did I just say? I better believe what she told me so I can repeat it back, right? And she's caught me a couple times when I didn't. So, hearing is taking the word in through our ear and allowing it to resonate in our heart. Believing is action. Believing is trust. It's for me to walk it out in my life. Whoever hears and believes has eternal life, no condemnation, has passed from death to life, receives life only through Jesus Christ. Every false religion will say earn. Jesus says believe. And that's key. Every false religion says earn. Jesus says believe. And so for me, I wanted to share with you guys this morning again, My message for this is all in with Jesus. And there was a time in my life when I came to this church and I wasn't all in with Jesus, right? Say, all in with Jesus is above this line of the carpet. I was 1 foot here and 1 foot there. I was 1 foot all in, 1 foot, nah, you know what I mean? And this is about, I came to this church about 13 years ago, and I'd be sitting in the pew right over there in the second chair. I've always stayed there. It's my seat, by the way. Don't sit there. Just kidding. Just kidding. But I wasn't all in. And I'd come and I'd hear Pastor Joe preach, and I was like, man, something about him. He's so authentic. He's real. He's talking about his life, and then he's talking about the Word of God and applying it. It actually makes sense. So I continued to show up. I continued to show up to hear him preach and teach, but I wasn't all in. But I was 1 foot in, 1 foot out, just enough to get me here. And what did I reap from that? I still had serious consequences. I was addicted, heavily in my addiction. I couldn't get sober. And I was 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And I carried those results in my life because of that. I told myself the story that this is who you are and this is who you'll always be. You come from a family of alcoholics. Your dad was an alcoholic. Your grandpa died of alcoholism. All the men in your life have disappeared. You too are going to walk that out. That's your life. And I accepted that story as my identity. Why? Because I wasn't all in. So then finally, life, which God has a way of doing, put me into a place of submission where I said, okay, God, I'm done. I'm all in. All my scorecards have read zero. I am fully responsible for the life and the decisions that I've made, and I've put myself in this position. And it was a lot. It caused a lot of wreckage, but I continually showed up here. Right over there, under the influence, loaded on prescription medication for years, drooling on myself, literally, doing a chin to chest. And April 26, 2016, I said a prayer where I was all in. And I said, God, I don't know what you have for me in this life, but I know it's better than what I have for myself. Help me to stay sober today. Just help me, Lord. I'm done trying to do things my way. No matter what happens in my life, I'm not going to get high. I'm not going to get drunk, no matter what. And that was April 26, 2016. And by the grace of God, I have over 10 years of continuous sobriety. And, like, I don't say that to, like, an attaboy for me. It's a thank you, Jesus, you know? And it's a all-in transformation. If you want transformation in your life, what I've realized is you got to be all in. If you join a gym and you want to get on a workout program and lose weight, gain muscle, drop body fat, you got to be all in. You can't eat donkey or freaking ding dongs and Twinkies and ho-hos at night. It's just not going to work. You have to be all in with the nutrition. You have to be all in with the weight training. You have to be all in with the cardio programming. Now, for transformation in my life on the inside through the Spirit, I need to be all in with Jesus. I need to be rooted in His Word. I need to know His Word, and I need to walk it out. My faith and my belief must be in Him and Him alone. Does that make sense? And so I share that with you guys because I know there's people either in our life or maybe there's people that are in here right now, and you're hearing this, and it's like, man, I need to be all in. And that's my hope. That's my prayer. Because for me, it's what changed and saved my life. I shared with you guys my brother's birthdays from this week. And man, it's like I look back and I miss my older brothers. You know, throughout my life, I've walked through a lot of loss. I've lost two stepdads, my dad, and two older brothers in life since I was 10 years old. So death and separation have just been a part of my life. But I never walked through it with God until I was all in my sobriety in the last 10 years. How I dealt with that when I was 10 years old and then losing my, you know, other people in my life versus how I dealt with that being all in with God is two different people. I had real solutions, you know? I was able to show up on Wednesday night and cry with my brothers and share what was on my heart and shed tears because there's no judgment. Like, everybody cries. The toughest guy in here, you have cried in your life. You're going to cry again at some point. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And so for me, being all in is how I was able to walk through that. But when I look at their lives, I look at my brother Ryan, when he passed away, he wasn't all in on his sobriety. He wasn't. And he would relapse and he struggled with that. And I'd pray for him, man. I'd pray for him. I'd answer phone calls at midnight, talk to him for an hour. Come on, bro. You can do it. Look at me. I got four DUIs. I took my truck into a wall on purpose at 100 miles an hour trying to kill myself. I got years of sobriety. Look at me. If I did it, you can do it. Yeah, and it's like he wasn't all in. And my brother Nolan, same thing. Wasn't all in. And I love them and I miss them. And I know they're here with us, you know. And I know they're in heaven with God because they came to this church and they gave their life to Jesus. And that's what it was all about. That inside of their heart and that decision, they did. And I'm super grateful for that. But my hope is that you go all in with Jesus today. And for me, there's two main points. One, I surrendered my life to Jesus. If you're taking notes and you want to be all in with Jesus, write that down. I surrender my life to Jesus. Two, I put my faith completely in Jesus. I can't, you can, help me. Every time before I come up here and they ask me to preach, they're like, TJ, do you want to preach? Instantly, I'm like, no, I don't, right? But then God's like, there's a calling and a mission on your life. Go out and set forth, share your testimony and make disciples. Share my word as it was written in the context it was written in and preach it. And I said, okay, God, let's go. I can't, you can, so help me. I surrender my life to Jesus. I put my faith completely in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Amen? The same voice that said, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live, is the same voice that changed my life. 100%. That is the exact same voice, his voice, that changed my life. That is why I'm standing here today. 10 years plus sober, married to my best friend, a leader in my home, my church, my business. What is my identity? That was the biggest thing I struggled with growing up. I started drinking at 10, 11 years old, very young, and I was in search of this identity. In all the wrong places. I know none of you guys relate. And so my identity is I'm a child of God. That's my identity. I am a child of God. What is my purpose? To glorify God in all that I do. And that's for all of us here, church. What is our identity? I'm a child of God. What is our purpose? To glorify God in all that I do. Right? Whether that be in my home, my home's my first ministry, right? My home is my first ministry. I glorify God in everything that I do. Do I fall short? Yes. Ask my wife. She'll tell you I fall short. Don't tell them everything. I got a rep to protect. No, just kidding. Right? So glorify God in my home, glorify God in my church, in our church, and glorify God in my workplace. But that for me was a game changer of being all in with God. What's my identity? What's my purpose? And now in those identities and purposes of your life, in my life, God is going to take us from season to season. But that's our foundation because of Jesus Christ. And the way that I frame things in my life now is it goes God, family, ministry, and then work. And I've shared that many times, and I'll share it until the day I'm in heaven with Jesus, because it changed everything in the way that I frame life. It took me from one season to the next season. God, family, ministry and work, because most of my life I was all about work, all about the hustle. Go and get all you can, right? You set goals for yourself of savings, where you want to get to. You get there, then all of a sudden it doubles, and then it doubles. It's like we'll never find. There's nothing that's enough other than the Word of God and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is enough, because He is the final atonement for sin, and He alone offers us our salvation. Amen? So verse 26, for as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son also to have life in Himself. That verse I would highlight in your Bible or on your Bible app. I know everybody has phones on them, and there's free Bible apps out there. It's not just social media. This one is one of the clearest declarations of Jesus' deity. One of the clearest declarations of Jesus' deity, verse 26 right there. Nobody gives life unless they possess it. Jesus possesses life in Himself. What does that mean? He isn't dependent. He isn't nearly a prophet. He is God. He is God. Jesus doesn't borrow life from the Father. He shares the very divine nature of the Father. And so, church, my question is this. Are you all in with Jesus? I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you all in with Jesus?
Yes.
There it is, right? Thank you. And that's today's takeaway. So many times I would listen to sermons, and I still do, and at the end of it, I'd be like, what did he say? And I'd be like, wait a minute, I feel like there was something. Wait, it was such a good sermon. Well, what did he say? Ugh. I don't know if you guys relate. Today I want you to lock this in. I'm all in with Jesus. That's what DJ preached about on Sunday. When Pastor Chris says, how did DJ do? Tell him, terrible. But he made me realize I'm all in with Jesus. That would be my prayer, right? So what does God require for salvation? Let's hear God at His word. These verses, please jot down as your notes, as verses that you can go to when you're struggling, as verses when you come across somebody. If you meet somebody in public and you tell them you're a Christian, you believe in God. Well, why? Share the verses, share the truth, and always share your testimony, because there's power in our testimony, but this is going to give you some ammo to back it up, because it's biblical truths. And it's the only thing we can stand on. I can preach and teach about my testimony, but if I can't back it up with Scripture, then what am I doing? Right? My testimony is there because of Scripture, because of what He did for me in my life. It doesn't come, I get straight and say, sober and turn my life around, then follow Jesus. No, I was broken, diminished in pieces. And I said, okay, Lord, Your way is better than my way. Help me. And then He puts everything back together. He opens door by door by door. And so the first verse I'm going to read that I suggest you guys jot down, we all know it. John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. I think a lot of times we stop just at verse 16, but I'm going to read this whole one for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 6. You guys get that one jotted down? If you're writing out the whole verse, that may be tough, but you can just write down John 3, 16 through 18. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Plain and simple. Right? Plain and simple. It's right there. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. What does it say? No other name in mankind in which we must be saved. All glory to King Jesus. This one's one of my, I love all these verses. I can't even say one of them is my favorite. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And I think I love this verse because I feel like, I think for me, I speak for myself, before I was all in with Jesus, I had this like misconception that I had to be a certain way to be accepted by God. Because in my mind, it was more like a performance type of thing. Because of my life, because of things I've gone through. If you perform well, attaboy. If you don't, you suck, you know? And it was like, I could never perform well enough. I wasn't worthy, which I am right. I'm not worthy, fully a sinner in need of a Savior. But I love this verse because it's so simple. And we all can share it with anyone at any given moment. And so Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 reads, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That simple. That simple. And another one's Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Those five verses right there, powerhouse. You don't even have to use all five of them, right? Right? You ain't even got to use all five. Pick one that you like. And now my challenge is memorize it. Don't just memorize it so you can sound good, but memorize it so that when life happens and you get pressed by life, that's what comes out. Because life is going to show up for every single one of us. One of the life verses that I've always had memorized that I've applied to my life, even before I was all in with Jesus, I feel like everyone knows it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It's like, if you don't know that, then where have you been your whole life? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That was like my verse that got me through some of the toughest times. But the context of the verse is Paul is preaching and teaching on whether I have a lot or whether I have nothing. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. That's the context of the verse. Because I've also seen that verse taken out of context sometimes. Like people in the gym trying to back squat 405. Philippians 4:13. I'm like, that's not the context, bro. But you can do it. And so I suggest and encourage you guys is have some of these memorized so you can apply them to your life. Because life's going to happen for every single one of us. And so for me, my prayer for you, first and foremost, is that you're all in with Jesus. Because we, as we read through John chapter 5, those verses 16 through 27, we see the authority and the deity of Jesus Christ as Lord. Not as a prophet, not as merely just a man or a good teacher, as our Lord and Savior. And we see clearly through the scriptures, no one comes to the Father except through him. And so I really want you guys to have that takeaway this morning and continue to study on these verses and spend time with God. And if you're not all in with Jesus, then my prayer and my hope is this, that today is the day that you're all in with Jesus. Whatever's holding you back, right? I have questions. I get it. I've been there. I have questions. What does all this mean? Just be open to receive. Open up your mind and open up your heart to receive him. Get in the word, study it. Come to one of our Bible studies. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, we do Operation Timothy. We have great women's discipleship programs here at the church. Wednesday nights, we have MAC. We read and teach from the scriptures here. Connect with one of the deacons. Connect with somebody and just get in the word, but just be open to receive and watch what God does in your life, because he'll show you. But for me, it was that all in. I had to quit playing one foot in, one foot out. I had to be all in. Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. And so I never want to, like Pastor Chris, you know, end a service without giving somebody that opportunity to be all in. Now, I want to be very clear about this. It's not the prayer that saves you, right? We can say, I mean, I remember I'd get in trouble. God, please just get me out of here. You know what I mean? I got money for my bail. And I wasn't all in. So it's not the prayer that saves you. But what this is it's an acknowledgement before God, because it's just between you and him, no one else. It's an acknowledgement before God that you want to be all in. And so I'm going to call up a couple deacons to come up here. And the point of this is to make that commitment that you're all in with God, right? Make that commitment that, you know what, today's the day. Lord, I'm all in. And so that's the first step. And the next step is this. Maybe you are all in with God. You're all in. You believe. You profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You believe he was risen from the dead from God. And you're all in. But maybe you've backslid in your own life. Maybe you've kind of fallen away from the scriptures. Maybe kind of you feel distant. And today you want to make a decision to rededicate your life to God and being back all in. And so if everybody could do me a favor, please just bow your heads, close your eyes, because I know some of us in here get nervous. I don't want to raise my hand because everybody's looking at me. Nobody's looking at you, I promise you. But everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes. And that first statement I said, if that's you, if you're that person in here this morning that wants to make the decision for the first time to be all in with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then please raise your hand. Amen. Now, if you've backslid and you know that you're just not living the way that you should, there's some sin going on in your life and you want to repent of it and lay it at the feet of Jesus, and you want to turn from your ways and turn back to his ways, then raise your hand. Amen. And so, church, say this prayer with me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So come into my life, come into my heart, and change me. Holy Spirit, renew my mind, cleanse my heart, and purify my soul. I commit my ways to you, Lord. I profess with my mouth that you, Jesus, are my Lord and Savior, and that you have risen from the dead. I put my faith in you, Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. And I thank you for this day. Lead me, guide me, and direct my footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, church. I just want to pray over you guys. Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, for this church. I thank you for this study this morning, Lord. And the biggest takeaway for all of us, Lord, is this, that we're all in with you, Jesus. We are all in. Come what may, Lord God, we are all in. So continue to lead us and guide us and direct us. Lord God, we know that your word says that you work out all things for the good for those of us that love you and are called according to your purposes. So we just come before you and we surrender it all at your feet. We can do nothing without you, Lord, but with you we can do all things. So help us to walk it out one day at a time. Help us to go out and share the gospel and make disciples in your name, Jesus. May we decrease as you increase, and you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church.